watching for the coming of that glad millennial day, when our blessed Lord shall come, catch his waiting bride away. Oh, my heart is filled with rapture as I labor, watch, and pray, for our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, Satan will be bound 1,000 years. He'll have no tempter then, after Jesus shall come back to earth again. Jesus coming back will be the answer to our sorrowing cry, for the knowledge of the Lord shall fill the earth, the sea, and sky. God shall take away all sickness, and the sufferer's tears will dry, when our Savior shall come back. And in all his holy mountain, nothing hurts or shall destroy. Perfect peace shall reign in every heart, and love without a Lord. After Jesus shall come back to earth again. Oh, yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, Satan will be bound 1,000 years. Have no tempter then, after Jesus shall come back to earth again. Then the sin and sorrow, pain and death of this dark world shall cease, in a glorious reign with Jesus of 1,000 years of peace. All the earth is groaning, crying for that day of sweet release, for our Lord is coming back to earth again. Amen.
Jesus shall come back to earth again. Amen. How many's looking forward to it?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Good to be in church again this evening.
Amen.
And want to just remind you of our announcements from this morning. Lord willing, Brother Wes Willis will be speaking for us Sunday, March 22nd, or 26th, rather, the morning and evening service. And then we'll be having a youth service that following Friday, March the 31st at 7:30 in the evening. And anyone's invited to come to that, but it's going to be focused to the youth. And then for you brothers, we'll be having a men's meeting this coming Thursday, the 16th at 7:30 here at the church. So if you can come to that for the brothers, you're welcome. And Brother Darrell requested prayer for his granddaughter, Jameson, who has pneumonia. I want to remember her in prayer. And also, Brother Joshua Johnson, not feeling well this evening, want to remember him in prayer. And Sister Vera requested prayer for a good friend, Jim Welch, who is bipolar. Want to remember that situation in prayer. And then, as we said this morning, Lord willing, Brother Trevor will be traveling to England, Finland, and Norway the 16th of this month through the 6th of March. So we'll remember him in prayer for those services and for traveling mercies. And would you just come this evening, Brother Trevor, and just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests.
Heavenly Father, Lord, it's good for us to be here, gathered together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we look to you for all things. Lord, we know in our own selves that we are nothing. Father, all it takes is one natural disaster, one hurricane, one tornado, one earthquake to remind us of how small that we truly are. And how great, Lord, the power of these things are, but yet, Lord, your power is even more so. Lord, we take confidence that we are children of the great King. We take confidence that the great I Am, that the Creator of heavens and earth, Lord, that you are the Almighty One. And Lord, you look on us with love because we're your children. Father, we're so thankful. And we're so unworthy, Lord. We know where our inabilities, we know our failures, we know our faults, Lord. All too well we know these things, but yet, Lord, you paid away for that already, and those things don't even matter anymore because you nailed them to the cross. Amen. God, we're so thankful. We want to tell you we love you tonight. Yes. Lord, as these requests have been brought forward for healings, for different needs, Lord, you know each heart, you know each request, everything that we have need of. You know the requests in my heart, Lord. But Father, we just have confidence in you, Lord. Amen. That all is well, that these things are taken care of, Lord. You asked us to ask, and we've done that in your name, and we agree together as believers, Lord. And we just thank you for the answers, Lord God. Amen. Lord, we know that sometimes the answers that you provide aren't what we're looking for, but Lord, we take confidence in you. And Lord, we ask you that you would meet each need. Father, then be welcome in this service. Lord, speak to our hearts. Lord, let that sweet, still, small voice just come and anchor us just a little bit more. Lord, whatever, however the word is brought, Lord, but and whatever is spoken, Lord, but let your spirit be dealing with each heart, Lord, quickening these things to us. Lord, we don't want just another service, but Lord, we want to hear from you, that you would touch us, that you would speak to us as individually, Lord. Bring that revelation. Lord, we all need more faith. We all need more revelation. Oh God, we're here to worship you and to hear from your throne. So speak to our hearts now tonight, Lord. We make you welcome and ask you to be with us in accordance with your word. And we ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Can be seated. We're going to have a special from the Eamon family at this time.
Lost or saved, find their way. The sound of your great name, all condemned, feel no shame at the sound of your great name. Every fear has no place at the sound of your great name. The enemy, he has to leave at the sound of your great name. Jesus, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us, Son of God and man, you all the weak find their strength at the sound of your great name. Hungry souls receive grace at the sound of your great name. The fatherless, they find their rest at the sound of your great name. The sick are healed, the dead are raised at the sound of your great name. Jesus, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us. Son of God and man, you are high and lifted up, and all the world will praise your great name. Slain for us, Son of God and man, you are high and lifted up, and all the world will praise your great name. Your great Jesus, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us, Son.
Sure, appreciated that. Amen. Amen. This time we have a special from Sister Stephanie Duval.
Wonder all
try this chorus this evening. Let's just let Jesus know we love him. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, why don't you just express it to him tonight?
We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you.
Oh, how we love you tonight, Father. Just bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we enter into your presence tonight, Lord, we just worship you.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you for all that you've done, all that we see you doing, and all that we believe you'll continue to do. Lord, we just commit this service into your hands, Lord, feeling such a sweet presence here, Lord. And yes. Lord, truly, it's more than just a song, but Lord, we love you.
Yes.
And you are worthy, Father.
Yes, sure.
Lord, I think of John when he stood there and he wept because he looked all over heaven and all of earth because there wasn't one worthy to loose the book or to open up the seals thereof. And he looked down through generations and prophets and priests and kings and mighty men of valor and warriors and generals and all kinds of people. Lord, they were men of renown and men of great fame and men who had done great things upon the earth, but there wasn't one that was worthy. He began to weep, but then he looked and your angel showed him not to weep because there was one that was found worthy that had been slain before the foundation of the world. Lord, we're so thankful to be serving one that's worthy. Lord, there was no worthiness in ourselves. There was no way, Lord, as I heard Brother Branham say the other day, it would be like trying to pick ourselves up by our bootstraps and throw ourselves over the moon. There was no way for us to do it, to redeem ourselves. But Lord, you were worthy.
Hallelujah.
Lord, I'm thankful tonight that I'm not depending on my own worthiness or my own good works or my own blood, Father, but I'm depending on you and your blood.
Yes.
Lord, I'm thankful that, Lord, you've opened up our eyes to see, Lord, that it's not by works, it's not by strength or by might, but it's by your Spirit, Lord, that you come and you do things. Lord, we just want to make ourselves sensitive to your Spirit tonight. Lord, whatever you'd have us to do, whatever you'd have us to say, may you have complete preeminence in this service. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. St. Matthew chapter 5, and want to look at just verse 5 this evening. We've been looking for the last few weeks at the Beatitudes, and we want to pick that up again tonight with the help of the Lord. St. Matthew's Gospel chapter 5 and verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Let's just read that together. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. As we've been looking at this for the last few weeks on the Beatitudes, and we looked at what this word beatitude meant, it means supreme blessedness or exalted happiness. And many of these things that the Lord is referring to here, They aren't things that we would think, as we've been looking at this thought of supremely blessed. They're not necessarily things that we would think are things that would be something that would be grand or something that we would think necessarily that we would be supremely blessed in the natural. But as we begin to look at the spiritual, we begin to realize even if we are poor in spirit, even if we're mourning, even if we're meek, all these different things that he's going through, we are supremely blessed by his grace.
Amen.
And this word meek, it's a Greek word, and the meaning of it is kind of long in the Greek lexicon here, but I'm going to take time and read a portion of it to you tonight. This Greek word is praeus, the word for meek, the Greek word, and it means mildness of disposition, gentleness of spirit, meekness toward God is that disposition of spirit in which we accept his dealings with us as good, and therefore without disputing or resisting. In the Old Testament, the meek are those wholly relying on God rather than their own strength to defend themselves against injustice. Gentleness or meekness is the opposite to self-assertiveness and self-interest. It stems from trust in God's goodness and control over the situation. The gentle person is not occupied with self at all. This is a work of the Holy Ghost, not of the human will. So this isn't something that we can work ourselves into or that we can convince ourselves to be that way. It's simply a working of the Holy Spirit in our lives to make us this way. Now, David picks this up in the Psalms, and actually Jesus is quoting the Psalm 37 when he says this portion of the Beatitudes. David says in Psalm 37, verse 11, "But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." So when things are going wrong on your job, and when things are going wrong at your school, and when things are going wrong in your home or around town or whatever it would be, you just look around some of those places and you think, one of these days I'm going to inherit this.
Right.
Amen. We might be made fun of and mocked and ridiculed now, but we're heirs. Yeah. Amen. Right. We're going to look at it in a little bit. Brother Bram said, footsteps are possessions. And so the places that we're walking, one of these days you're going to inherit that. And it may be somebody else's land that you're working, or may it be somebody else's warehouse that you're working in. But one of these days it's going to be yours.
Right.
And we want to parallel this with the help of the Lord this evening. I want to look at this and parallel it this way because Brother Branham did. But in Genesis chapter 13 and verse 14, Moses begins to reflect back on Adam, or Abraham rather, when he was still named Abram, and how that God came down and began to tell him about the land that he was going to possess in the natural. And we would just want to kind of parallel this tonight. "And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever."
Amen.
Now, I heard Brother Branham on a tape recently. He said that Sister Mita tried to stump him on a question, and she said, "Did Abraham ever possess that land, yes or no?" And he said, "No, he never did." And she said, "Oh, I caught you on that one." She said, "I've got the answer right here in the back of my Bible," where one of the theologians or whoever it was that had printed that Bible had a biblical answer. And he told her, he said, "Turn to Acts chapter 7. And when she did, Acts chapter 7 verse 5 says, "He gave him none inheritance in it, no, not so much as to set his foot on, yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession, and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child." So here he was on earth, a sojourner and a stranger, and God tells him, "Abraham, go up to the top of this mountain, look as far as you can to the east, look as far as you can to the west, look as far as you can to the south, and as far as you can to the north. You're going to be a possessor of it." But yet he wandered about in tents his entire life, and he never fully inherited the land for himself. But years later, some of his children would come and push out the Philistines and the different ones that were possessors of that land. They weren't really possessors of it. They were squatters on Abraham's land that God had given to him.
But God had promised this to Abraham, and he said, the land which thou seest to thee will I give it and to thy seed forever. Now, they're still fighting over that land overseas, but it's theirs. Whether I don't care what Iran says or what Iraq says or what this leader or that leader says or how many wants to try to push them back to different areas and different borders. It's their land. They're possessors of it. But by faith tonight, just as Abraham could walk, and as it said in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, that by faith Abraham, when he was called out to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went not knowing whither he went. He went not knowing whither he went. He was just going about. God told him, look this way and look that way, look this way and look that way, and all of it's yours. It's yours for a possession. And he started to wander and to sojourn, and he would go about from place to place, and he didn't even know really where he was going, but wherever the soles of his feet tread, God said, that's yours, Abraham.
Amen.
Abraham's seed, 1959, Brother Ram says, now said, rise up, Abraham, look east, north, west, and south, it's all yours. I give it all to you. The meek shall inherit the earth. We know. He said, we know that. Notice, look everywhere. It's all yours. Get up. Don't just sit there. Get up and walk through the land. See how you like it.
Amen.
He said, that's the trouble with people today who call themselves Christians. Somebody say, you know, if I owned anything, I'd want to go see what I got. I'm nosy. If somebody give me a house, I'd look every inch of it. I want to see what it looks like. Climb up. That's the way it is. When I become a Christian, I want to see what I'm heir to. Amen. Oh, my. He said, find a whole storehouse full of promises. Add up. It just ain't go put your name on the church book and do the best you can. He says, you're an heir. Hallelujah. Look through the storehouse. What's a great big arcade? You was baptized into it. It's yours. You're heired it. I'd go around and look at this counter and see what I got in here. And go over here and see what I got over here. Anything that looks a little bit too high, I get a step ladder and climb up to it. If I see anything that looks a little out of my reach, like divine healing or something, I'll get on Jacob's ladder and just keep climbing till I get up where it's at. I want to see what it's all about. He said, you're heir to it. Heir of salvation, heir of divine healing, heir of every redemptive blessing Jesus died for. You are the heir to it, for you are Abraham's seed. You're heir of the whole thing. Amen. He said, I feel religious. Amen. Know that I'm an heir. Amen. I'm an heir tonight. Amen. If somebody heired you a great big mansion, you wouldn't want to just send somebody by to take pictures of the outside, but you want to go and look it over. As we talked about something going on in the attic this morning, and you'd want to be going up in the attic and seeing what was up there. Was there any chests and things that was yours up there in the attic? And you want to go down in the cellar and see what was down there, and you'd want to go through every bedroom and every corner and every crevice, and you'd want to go through the kitchen and the cabinets and see what was yours. If there was a barn or some type of a shelter or something outside, you want to go out there and see if they left you some old vintage car that was worth hundreds of thousands of dollars, and you want to go through and see what was left to you. But we've been left the greatest thing that could ever be given people, and many times we let it sit with dust covered all over it, like we would an old rundown house somewhere that we was too embarrassed to go and see what was in it, and we leave it sit when we should be going through and finding out what is ours.
Amen.
Hey man, I want to find out what's mine tonight. I'm an heir of these things.
Right.
Amen. This isn't just Walt Disney. We're possessors tonight.
All right.
I don't want to just be a professor of something and say, well, I believe this and I believe that. That's all right. But it's one thing to profess it, and it's another thing to possess it.
All right.
Amen. I want to go and possess the land.
Amen.
Possessing all things, 1962, he said Abraham could lay hold on it, yet poor. His cattle was starving. Lot took the best ground. His water was short. Hot days, and herdsmen had been in trouble, and everything looked like it gone wrong for Abraham, yet he owned the whole thing.
Right.
Oh my, some days you might sit and look and think, oh my, it just seemed like everything's gone wrong, and everything's going wrong on your job, everything's going wrong at school, everything's just going wrong at the home and everywhere you go, but you own the whole thing to begin with.
Amen, brother.
He said, and today the true believer is cast out from among the people, called a fanatic, holy roller, or some kind of an insulting name, some kind of a religious fanatic, and yet is heir to the whole heavens and earth.
Right.
Blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. Oh my, talk about push you out in a cabin or somewhere and hardly enough money to pay your rent, yet you own it all.
Amen.
Amen. Have to work and toil and sweat for a few dollars to make and earn an honest living, to put shoes on your children's feet and to feed their little hungry mouth, and yet own every heir to everything that's here. The meek shall inherit the earth. They possess it. Oh my, I like that, he says. Possessor of the earth. What is the believer? The believer has a title, abstract deed, that's right, by Jesus Christ, that he shall be the possessor of this entire universe. That's what he said. Amen. Brother Bam said in one place, he said, you have the power in you right now to go and speak worlds into existence and go live on them. Now, I don't know how to harness that power, but he said we have it within us.
All right.
Amen. And yet we get so downtrodden and so beat down sometimes. And well, you know, brother so-and-so's got a little bit bigger house than me. And sister so-and-so's got a little bit better dress than me. And this one's got a little bit better this. And this one's got a little bit better than that. And we've got to scrimp and save and try to feed the kiddies. You're heir to it all.
Amen.
You keep that in mind. Don't let Satan get you so beat down and run down every time you look at your checking account and make you think that you're nobody and that God doesn't care anything about you. He titled the whole thing in your name.
Amen.
Amen. My father owns the cattle on a thousand hills.
Right.
Amen. He told the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 24, he said, every place whereon the sole of your feet shall tread shall be yours. From the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be. He tells them, every place where the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours. Now, I don't know about you, but if somebody came to me and said, every place that you walk, every place the soles of your feet touch, you're an heir to it. I think I'd be taking off and taking some steps. And say, okay, I'm going to start walking this direction. All this is mine. And then I'm going to walk this direction just as far as I can till I get so weary I can't walk. And then I'm going to walk this way. And then the next morning when I wake up, you know what? I'm just going to keep on walking. I'm going to keep taking another step and another step and another step because I'm a possessor. Amen. And he said, wherever the soles of my feet tread, that's mine. So if I'm down at Ace Hardware walking the aisles, it's mine.
All right.
If you're down at the Walmart walking through there and people making fun of you because the skirt you're wearing is down below your knees and you got long hair and they make fun and laugh at you as we was talking about this morning, and yet they look like they came out of a circus somewhere, and they look and they make fun and laugh and snicker and call you old timey, you just remember where those feet are treading. That's your possession.
That's right.
Amen. They can fight over it all they want. They can do whatever they want, but I'm just going to keep possessing what's mine.
Right.
And I don't mean just in the physical. I'm just not interested in the square footage, but I'm interested in every promise that's in the book is mine.
Amen.
I don't want to just read a verse a day and say, well, I guess that's all right for somebody, but I want to keep digging through and finding out what is my inheritance and what is promised to me in this last age. And I don't want to just listen to a few minutes of a tape and say, well, I guess that's just good enough for me for today, but I want to keep digging and searching and finding and digging out those golden nuggets out of the message and out of the Bible to find out what's truly been promised to me in this day. And then I don't want to just leave it there and say, well, I guess that's all right, maybe someday in the millennium, but I believe that right now we are possessors.
Amen.
We can be a possessor of joy. We can be a possessor of victory.
Amen.
We can be a possessor of perfect love. We can be a possessor of brotherly kindness and of all these things that was promised for us. That's not just for some other age and now it's got so dark that we can't have joy or victory or peace. That was promised for you.
Amen.
He says again, and thou son of David, have mercy on me. 1961, he said, that's the same thing it is today. Divine healing belongs to us. The Holy Spirit belongs to us. It's our property, but you'll fight every inch of it. Yes, sir. But brother, footsteps is possession. Just keep fighting. Take it. The devil say the days of miracles is past. Say you're a liar.
Amen.
God said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Take it over everywhere your footstep. That's possessions. That's right.
Amen.
Oh my, I hope you can walk all over a little bit of your kingdom tonight and find what God has left for us. Maybe some of you need to walk around your family's home or your children's home or different places and say, Lord, I claim this place in the name of Jesus.
Right.
And they may think you're crazy and they may not agree with you right now, but you keep applying the token and my God is bigger than their ideas or what they figured out or whatever it'll be. It's our possession. Brother Branham said that Rahab, if she could just get him in the house, it didn't matter if it was her uncle or her aunt or her daddy or her children or whoever it was. He said if she could just get him in the house where that token was applied, he said they were going to be all right.
Amen.
That's our property. That's our possession. Amen. We don't have to cower down and bow down to some of these things that go on. We're possessors tonight. Oh, my. He says again, blind Bartimaeus, 1959. He says, sister in that wheelchair or on this stretcher, God promised you healing. You'll have to fight every inch of it. The devil will make you fight with the sword of God every inch you could. But remember, footsteps is possession. Wheresoever your foot treads, that I give unto you. Every step you can make, you know that gets me feeling religious. Footsteps is possession. All the land that your feet will tread upon in this promised land, it's yours. He said, and it's the same to every believer tonight. Anything that you can take, any divine promise of God and claim it and hold it, it's yours. Footprints. Amen. Hey man, I want to walk over the word a little bit tonight and find out what's set in store for me. And if I'm sick and the doctor says there's no hope, I've got a right as a possessor to say, well, I appreciate your opinion medically and scientifically, but I have a promise and I'm an heir. Amen. That I don't have to just lay down and say what your test results say, but I'm a possessor tonight of divine healing. Amen. I'm a possessor tonight of the peace of God, that I don't care what's going on at work or what's going on around the message or what's going on at this church or this school or that school or who has this idea or who has that idea or maybe how mad your boss is at you at work and what he's trying to do. You're a possessor of peace tonight. And if there's somebody that squatted on your property and has tried to take your peace away from you, you need to go back and claim it tonight and say, I'm a possessor of peace. Amen. Maybe it's a family member that every time you get around them, you get so upset and so worked up that you can't have peace. Stop letting them rob you of your property. Oh, maybe it's your television that's robbed you of your victory. Maybe it's the internet that's robbed you of your victory. Maybe it's some old guy down at work that every time you get around him, he begins to talk about things and make you so mad you could punch your fist through a wall, and he's robbed you of a victory or whatever it would be. It's time to take back our possessions tonight. Amen. Amen. If somebody's taking your victory from you, maybe it's time to set whatever that is aside and move on for the glory of God and say, I'm taking back my victory tonight. Oh my. Queen of Sheba, 1961, he says, that's the way divine healing is. That's the way the Holy Ghost is. Everything you could walk behind you, its footsteps is possession. Keep walking. Keep going. That's the way. He said, you just move your finger. You couldn't move it at all. And you move it that much today, move it that much more tomorrow, and that much more the next day. Amen. Just keep on moving, 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 moving. Footsteps is possession. Right. You say, oh, I got prayed for, and I just don't know. I didn't see anything take place overnight. You just keep moving. You just keep walking. You keep claiming your possession. You go another day and another day. You say, oh, Brother Nathan, I've been so nervous and so worked up, and Satan's tried to rob me of this and he's tried to rob me of that. You remind him whose name is on the title deed tonight. Yeah. Amen. Because Brother Branham said that when Jesus came to redeem what was lost, he didn't just redeem your name on the Lamb's Book of Life, but he said, Brother Branham said it this way. He said that when Jesus came to redeem us back, he redeemed back everything that Adam had lost. Amen. That wasn't just his name being redeemed back on the book, but he had control over nature. Amen. And God redeemed that back to the bride of Jesus Christ. You say, I don't believe it. Well, maybe you need to go listen to some tapes or read your Bible. When a man that was sick with a headache in the back of a boat and tired and laid down, Brother Bram said he had a headache and was tired from praying for people all day. And he laid down the back of the boat till he was so tired and so weary that even a storm didn't wake him up. But then when they said, Master, don't you fear that we're going to perish? He stepped his little foot out on the side of the boat and he said, peace, be still. And the winds and the waves obeyed him.
Yes.
Amen. In this age, there was a prophet of God that stood there and a storm coming in and everybody leaving and trying to get out of there, and even brothers saying that they were rerouting them and telling them to go a different direction because of this great storm that was coming through the area. And he goes out there with his little rifle and he's going to thank God for his wife and for their anniversary date, that here he is out on a hunting trip and her at home. And no doubt some of you sisters would have been just worked into a frenzy over that, but you know, he was following what God wanted him to do. Amen. Now, that doesn't mean that you brothers are going to go out and hang out with your buddies down at rallies on your anniversary and say, God led you to do it. I don't think so.
All right, brother.
But he was about the Father's business. Amen. And so here he is out there, and he goes out there to thank God for, and he began to cry and felt those tears coming down his white beard. And he said, all of a sudden, he began to look down and see his hands. They changed to young again. And God spoke to him and said, ask what you will. And he said, storm, you go away, and the clouds and all these different things. And he said, before he knew what had taken place, those tears were dripping on dry leaves. Amen. Didn't just stop the rain, but dried the leaves. Amen. I believe that God is still present tense tonight. Amen. You say, I don't believe that. Well, I talked to a brother a while back when the tornadoes were coming through Henryville, and he's got a little farm out there, and he said he was watching this tornado, I believe it was a mile and a half wide, coming through Henryville, just devastating everything in its path. And he was standing on his front porch watching it coming closer and closer and closer to his house and tearing down trees and acres and acres and acres as it was coming towards him. And he was standing on his front porch, and he just prayed and cried for the blood of Jesus, and the tornado got right to his mailbox and turned and went down the road away from his house.
All right.
Amen. I believe the bride still has power tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Not power, but authority. Amen. Why? Because we've got our name on the title deed, and all those things that was supposed to be redeemed back, all that Adam had lost is redeemed back to us tonight. Amen. You say, well, Brother Nathan, we're still getting old. Oh, no, I'm not talking about this body so much, but I've got a body waiting for me. It'll never die. It'll never get old. It'll never have a cough or a sniffle or a flu. It'll never have a gray hair or a wrinkle, but it's eternal in the heavens waiting for me. Amen. God came back and redeemed us, these things that Adam had lost. We are now possessors of those things. How? On our own? Because we get an idea or a funny feeling? No, through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
He says in the greatest news flash in history in 1961, he said, brother, them footsteps means possessions. Let's just keep walking into the promised land, not looking back to see what will happen back there and what somebody else is doing. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the Joshua, the leader. Just keep moving on deeper depths and higher heights until you possess everything that God has promised you in His Word. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not there yet. Maybe some of you can get up and shake your head and say, oh, poor Brother Nathan, he's not as far along as we are yet. But I don't feel like I've possessed everything yet that's in God's Word. But I do feel like every day I'm getting a step closer and a step closer.
Right.
Amen. If we keep walking towards Jesus and keep our eyes with singleness towards Him, not distracted to the left and distracted to the right and what's going on in politics and what's going on around the message and what's going on at your job and what's going on at school and all these distractions that come up to try to get our focus off of the Word, but if we can keep our eyes on Jesus and just keep taking one footstep after one footstep after another footstep, possessing one promise after another promise after another promise, I believe there'll be one day when we get closer to home than we are to here, like Enoch was, and God says, you know what, you might as well just come on up.
Right.
Amen. It becometh us to fulfill all righteousness, 1961. He said, what difference does it make whether we got a nickel or a dime? Whether we got something to eat or whether we haven't, whether we're living or dying, God promised the meek shall inherit the earth. Oh my, what a mentality to live with. You know, then your victory and your joy and your peace, that doesn't fluctuate with your bank account. When you look at the end of the month at your statement, they've got that little arch, you know, that shows what the high point was and that month, the most money you had in the checking account, what the low point was, the most lowest point in your checking account, that we can't track your joy and your peace and your victory with that little line. That all night when it was up there on the top on payday, you had the victory, and oh, victory is mine, victory is mine. And then when all the bills are paid and you're about -3, you're, oh, I just came into a valley. One like I've never been before. I don't want my joy and my peace and my happiness and my victory to be tracked by my monthly statement from PNC Bank. Amen. What does it matter? Oh, we need to have things to feed and clothe our children and things like that. I understand that. That's all right. Jesus said He promised us that we'd have those things, but I'm not worried so much about tracking all of that because I own it all anyhow.
Amen.
Amen. And if I die a pauper and they have to bury an old wooden box to bury me in, or they throw me into an oven and cremate me, that won't bother me at all because where I'm going, I own more than boxes and I own more than dust and I own more than crematories and things like that. I'm a possessor of it all.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I'll be able to, you know, a lot of times when you're a possessor of a whole lot of land, some of these ranchers and things, they can ride on four-wheelers and trucks and horses for days and days and days and never be able to cover the amount of property that they own. But I'll be able to travel like a thought, Brother Jimmy. And if I want to go see this part of what I'm a possessor of, I'll just go check it out. And then if I'm done there, I'll go check it out somewhere else.
All right.
Amen. That's my future home.
Yes.
Amen. The future home, 1964, he says, and again in Matthew 5, verse 5, Jesus said, the meek shall inherit the earth. He said, it isn't going to have another earth. It's going to be the same earth. He said, I'm trying to get the plan of redemption to you before, if I don't get nothing else, see, the baptism of fire on it only is to cleanse it and make it a fit place for his meek to live in, see. Oh, like he did us, his creation to live in. Before he could come in it, he had to give us the baptism of fire. Then the Holy Ghost come in and live. Baptism of fire. Then when you get that baptism of fire, then the Holy Ghost can come in. What? As it does, it burns up everything contrary to the word out of you, see?
Amen.
It won't believe nothing else but the word because it is the word.
Amen.
Amen. You say, oh, I got the Holy Ghost and then denied the word of God. I have to question whether you really got it or not. But when the Holy Ghost comes in, it begins to burn away all those things contrary to the world, contrary to the word, and we begin to be in his likeness. We begin to be molded and made in his image, just as this earth right now. You look around, if there's peril, you look at the news and there's deaths and murders and killings and rapes and all kinds of things going on, and this country battling this country and this country talking about their plans of atomic bombs and all kinds of different plans that they have, and this country over here trying to counteract that, and all their plans and all their tryings and doings and all that. And you look around, you see diseases on the rampage and natural disasters on the rampage and sickness and flus and all kinds of different things on the rampage. But just as that fire came down and burnt that old you out, that there was all kinds of murmurings and complainings and temptations and distractions and things that was unpleasing to God, and the Holy Spirit began to come and to burn those things out of you, to where the things that you used to desire, you don't no longer desire. The things you used to have pleasure in make you sick, and now your eyes are on Jesus and on his word. There's going to come a fire that's going to be a cleansing fire upon the earth, and it'll burn away death, it'll burn away sickness, it'll burn away disease, it'll burn away all kinds of murderous acts and things, it'll burn away fear, it'll burn away doubt, and the meek is going to come down and inherit the whole thing.
Amen.
Oh my, I can imagine spending some time in a place like that. Amen. But if we're not careful, what Satan will do is he'll make things a little bit more comfortable for you in Satan's Eden. And you'll begin to think, you know what, it's pretty comfortable down here. My air conditioning control is set just right, and my pillow, you know, the memory foam is just getting about right, and this is just about comfortable, and that's just about comfortable. And, you know, I just got a raise at my job, and I just got this, and I just got that, and, you know, the children's just got their braces off their teeth, and they're all nice and straight and shiny, and all my everything just seems like it's going awful good. And if you're not careful, you'll try to make this your millennium. But there's more than what's down here for us.
Amen.
Amen. There's more than a comfortable chair and a comfortable bed, and there's more than climate control and voice activation. Oh, it's going to be voice activation, all right. I'll say, lion, you go lay down with the lamb, and it'll be voice activated.
Amen.
I'll say, wind, you go back, and it'll be voice activated. I'll say, oh my, I want to go travel to see Brother Branham or Brother Hoover or Brother so-and-so, and I'll travel like a thought. It'll be voice activated, all right.
Amen.
And you won't have Siri or some woman come on and say, I didn't understand what you wanted, but before you even think, God will know what you have need of. Oh my, see, Satan is trying to replicate everything that God has planned for us, and he gets it so nice and so comfortable and so automated that we think, oh my, it's pretty nice down here. But I don't know about you, I still get tired.
Right.
I still get upset. I know some of you can adjust your halos and pretend that you don't, but that's all right. The difference between me and you is I'm honest about it. I still get upset, I still get frustrated. Still get gray hair after gray hair. Still get sick every once in a while. I'm going to a place that's not going to be like that.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, all the skyscrapers and architecture and everything that man has created won't be anything compared to that city that God has designed. All the beautiful things that man could design, where Brother Branham would make the statement that he's almost an amateur creator, that he's come so close to some of the things and being able to produce and design and things like that, it won't be a drop in the bucket to that city that God's designing for us. Amen. Let's look at a couple of these things tonight that's promised to us in the Word, these footsteps and these possessions. We looked at one of them this morning, but I want to look at it again. You probably, all of us know it by heart. You don't have to turn to it. But Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." That's a promise.
Amen.
That's a possession. That's something that we should be possessors of. And not only you, but he says, "The promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." You say, "Brother Nathan, aren't you scared to death to raise children in this age as dark and as evil it is?" No, I've got a promise.
Right.
Amen. I've got a promise of the Holy Ghost, not only to me, but unto my children and to all that are afar off, even as the many as the Lord our God shall call. I'm a possessor tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes you get a new car, or you buy a house, or you buy a piece of furniture or an electronic device or something, and it'll come with a limited warranty. Sometimes it's the amount of time. Sometimes it's the amount of miles. Sometimes it might be whatever, but there's certain things that are taken care of. But I have a warranty that it doesn't have an expiration date.
Amen.
It doesn't have a little disclaimer down at the bottom in small print that says, you know, some restrictions apply and may not be available in all stores, and all these on and on and on things that the lawyers put in there to try to restrict you from getting what you thought you paid for. But I've got a prescription. I've got a promise. I've got something that I'm an inheritor of, that it doesn't have an expiration date. Amen. Brother Brandon called it an eternal prescription. Amen. I still believe in it tonight.
Amen.
James would go on to say in James chapter 5, verse 14, he said, "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. Anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick." That's a promise. Amen. We're possessors of that tonight. "And the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." We're possessors of this tonight. Amen. When me and the brothers go to pray for somebody and they come up before the church and I begin to pray, I don't think, "Well, Lord, I, if you're able, I sure hope that you can help this person. And maybe, you know, if we do this just exactly right, then I hope, or I think, or it could be." But when we go to pray for somebody, I begin to think about the different ones that has been healed that had something similar wrong with them. And I begin to think about the testimonies of what God has already done. I think, "God, you're no respecter of persons.
Amen.
If you can do it for this one, you can do it for that one. What you did for others, you can do for these. What you've done before, you can do again." And I begin to expect a miracle. Amen. I begin to believe that something is going to take place. Why? Because experience brings forth hope that we can look back and see, "Well, he healed the last one, so why shouldn't he heal this one?" Amen. When we was down in Florida, and they had a prayer line there at the Haitian church one night, and they was bringing people up, and it was a little difficult. I wound up blowing my voice out because they had a speaker on the platform right beside where I was standing, and it was kind of drowning out what I was trying to say to the people in the prayer line. So I had to basically holler the whole time to try to tell them what I was trying to say. But they had different people come up through the prayer line, and some of them spoke English and I could talk to them directly, and others I had to speak to through an interpreter. But they were coming up for prayer, and it seemed like every person almost that came through the prayer line, God in the last few months had healed somebody with a similar situation at our church. And so I just begin to testify to each one of them that came through and say, "You know what, I was just praying for somebody a while back that was going through the same thing, and God healed him." What does it do? It builds our faith.
Amen.
Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing of what? Hearing of some man's ideas or somebody's opinion. Hearing of the Word of God. And when that word begins to anchor down, it's more than just a letter. It's more than just a word or a syllable or a sentence. But when the word begins to anchor down and you begin to recognize, "You know what, that wasn't just for so-and-so back in the Old Testament. Or that wasn't just for so-and-so back in the New Testament. Or that wasn't just for so-and-so back in 1957. But that's a promise that's for me."
Amen.
Amen. It's an eternal word. And it's something that I can anchor down, that I can be a possessor of. Amen. The meek shall inherit the earth.
Amen.
Amen. They can fight and argue over it and bomb back and forth with each one another and all that, but we're going to inherit the whole thing anyhow.
Amen.
Amen. Not only that, but I have a spiritual inheritance that's mine, that I'm a possessor of. I don't have to worry. I don't have to fear. I don't have to stay up late at night and think, oh my, what if I get this disease and what if this takes place and what if that takes place? I'm a possessor by His grace.
Amen.
Amen. My name's on the deed. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Aren't you happy that we can feel that way tonight?
Amen.
That we have an inheritance. That when our children are sick, and as much as I appreciate doctors and hospitals and medicine, and I believe God works that way too, but when the doctors and the medicine and the hospitals have done all that they can, we still have a source that we can go to,
amen,
that we're a possessor. Amen. When we have a financial problem, we've done everything that we know how to do. We've applied for as many jobs as we've known how to do, and we've moved money around and robbed Peter to pay Paul as much as we know how to do, and we've done everything we can, exhausted every resource that we have. There's another source that we can go to.
Amen.
Amen. I'm thankful tonight. When we've done all that we know how to do, and we've put every effort and all of our strength and all of our weakness and everything we can put into it, and all of our efforts and everything, it just seems like it's falling flat, we still have a source that we can go to.
Right.
Amen. He's made us possessors tonight. I don't know about you, but I'm going to keep on walking. I'm going to keep on taking step after step after step, possessing what God has for me. Amen. I don't want to sit down and just say, well, I guess that was for some other age, or I guess that's all right for somebody. But I want to read my name in there and say, you know what? This is part of my inheritance. Amen. I may have to get on a stepladder to reach it. I may have to climb up in faith and go up into the attic or somewhere to get it down. But I'm going to believe that I'm a possessor of these things. By Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you tonight. If the musicians would come. We're supremely blessed. Amen. As I begin to look around, I see different situations. You look around at people. You can just go down to a restaurant or a store or something. Begin to look around at the people and the condition they're in, the way they live and the way they act. And you begin to think, oh Lord, I'm so supremely blessed.
Amen.
To see our children serving the Lord and in church, and to see just a peace that most people out here don't even understand. And they go to work so upset, and then they go and they party as hard as they can all weekend, or they're blown out of their mind on something, don't know what happened or where they was, and then they come back and they're so upset at work the whole rest of the week till they can get through and do that again. I think, oh my goodness, thank God for peace. Thank God for a place where we can hide ourselves in the cleft of the rock till the storm passes over. Amen. I'm thankful for that peace that only He can give. Amen. Let's sing this together tonight. Amen. I don't even know if I know all the words to it, so you help me tonight, and the Lord just laid it on my heart. Oh, life is a few days of trouble. A wise man once said, oh, but I'll not complain, for I'm sheltered, I'm clothed, and I'm fed. Oh, many's the trial. Then I'm reminded, sweet peace I have, Lord, in You. Oh, for the only real peace I have, dear Lord, is in You. Are you thankful for that kind of peace tonight? The old Oh, maybe this is how you feel sometimes. The higher I soar in my dreams, the harder I fall. Lord, and sometimes I wonder if my dreams are worth dreaming at all. Oh, but my disappointments, they can't leave me blinded or blue. Lord, not when I'm reminded of that sweet peace I have, Lord, in you. Oh, sing it together tonight.
The only real peace that I have. I'm gonna keep pressing on.
All of my
tempest may blow and the storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of life. I'm never alarmed at the overcast sky. The Master looks on at the strife. I'm living by faith in Jesus above. I'm trusting, confiding in His great love. From all harm safe in His sheltering arms. Oh, I'm living by I'm living by